Let's base our life on the truth. Let's stop believing the lies the enemy whispers in our ears. Let's stop believing the lies that other people tell us. Let's not be motivated by lies. Let's be motivated by truth. What does God say? I have been preaching a lot of messages in my lifetime, and several of them stick out to me. One in particular, many, many years ago, I was preaching, and about halfway through the message, I am just doing an awesome job. And we were much smaller space back then, and we only had one service, so when somebody stood up in the middle of the service, everybody, all eyes would go on the person. And this particular Sunday was no exception, because as I'm preaching, halfway through the sermon, a woman stands up, she comes up to the podium while I'm preaching, and I'm just looking at her, and the whole place is quiet, and she hands me a check during the message for $72 million. Just kidding, it wasn't. And she hands me a check. I don't even remember how much it was for, and I was just like, I was so stunned. I said, thank you, and I just put it behind my notes and just ignored it, and I just went on right about my message, because again, I was doing awesome. And I got done with my message. I didn't think two things of it. We did the process that we do with checks and took care of that. And so a little time goes by, about a week or so, and this lady is so mad at me because I did not acknowledge her check giving during the message time and what she gave and how, you know, she should have been honored and respected. Ultimately, she ended up leaving the church because she was so mad at me. And I was thinking about that this morning, and I don't know what her motive was, but I can pretty much guess that it wasn't the right motive. Just a sneaky suspicion that it wasn't the right motive. Let me ask you this morning. Why do you do the things you do? What makes you do some of the things that you do in your life? That's a powerful question. Today we're in our series, The After Party, and we have been going through the book of Acts, and we are deep into it. We've been talking about what happened after the resurrection, because after Jesus rose from the dead and ascended to the Father, the party wasn't over, it was just beginning. How many know what I'm talking about? And so today we're in Acts chapter 5, And we're looking at what's going on in the church, and tens of thousands of people are getting saved and baptized, and God's doing an amazing thing. And here's the funny thing about church life, God's people coming together. If the enemy can't get you on the outside, he'll try to get you on the inside. And he'll somehow try to sow dissension or disunity, or somebody will come in with the wrong reason or the wrong motives, and he tries to, you know, attack that way. Well, Acts chapter 5 is no exception to the rule, because we're now going to deal with this couple, this married couple in the church named Ananias and Sapphira, and man, did they have some problems. None of you do, but they did. And here's what we're going to learn when we go through this chapter, this part of the Acts chapter 5, and that's this: having the right motives. Having the right motives. We need to have the right motives, don't we? Do you have the right motives, or do you have wrong motives? Maybe you serve to be seen. Look what I do. Maybe you post to impress. Look at that. Right? Like I said, I was doing an awesome job. Maybe you give to gain influence. Look how much I give. This happens to me many times over the past 25 years of ministry. People give, they give significantly, and they think they should have power in the church. Yeah. They give to gain influence. Look, and they like to tell everybody that what they've given. See, good actions done with the wrong heart are still wrong. Good actions done with the wrong heart are still wrong. God doesn't just see what we do, he sees why we do it. and we need to have the right motives. How do we have the right motives? As we look at this story here of Ananias and Sapphira, we're going to learn about having the right motives. Here we are, Acts chapter 5, verse 1. It says, now a man named Ananias, together with his wife, so this is a family affair, okay? Sapphira also sold a piece of property. Now, what does it mean also? Remember the chapter before, we talked about it last week, when Barnabas and some other people had sold property and given it to the ministry, right? So they saw this happen, and so now Ananias and Sapphira want a piece of the pie. And so they also sold property, and with his wife's full knowledge, because the wife always knows, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you've received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to a human being, but to God. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. I'd like to have offering time right now. He died, and a great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Then some young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. That's quite a Sunday. About 3 hours later, his wife came in. Remember, she knew this whole thing was going on. Not knowing what had happened, but Peter asked her, tell me, is this the price that you and Ananias got for the land? Yes, she said, that's the price. Peter said to her, how could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also. At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. The young men came in and, finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. You think? What church do you go to? Oh, I go to that one down. Oh, that's the one where people die. If this was common practice, I have a feeling, just a hunch, there might be a lot of dead people in church. If this is how God operated on every single time we met together, people have it, wrong motives, dead. Lied, dead. Right? You know what I'm talking about? I mean, we get mad when somebody sits in our own seat. Right? You're saying, that's my seat. Now here we're dealing with people given with the wrong motives. And it might seem harsh. Like, you read this and it seems super harsh. Like, oh, serious, God? I mean, they at least gave you some of the money, but maybe not all of it. And it doesn't seem a little extreme. Well, it does to us, but we're not holy. God's holy. And in all ways throughout Scripture, God sets himself apart as holy. We see it all the way back in the Old Testament when Uzzah reached out his hand to steady the ark and God smote him. Why? Because God's holy. He's holy means to be set apart. We see it in Scripture when Aaron's sons offered the wrong incense in the temple and God struck them down. Why? Because God's holy and he's set apart. And in this, we see it in the New Testament church, this first instance of dissension in the church, of issues in the church, right? It's always going to happen. And God says, listen, I'm going to be held out as holy and set apart, and you will honor me as such. That's why great fear seized the congregation. And through this story, I think we can all agree that Ananias and Sapphira had the wrong motives. Everybody? Right? Because God wouldn't strike them down if they had the right motives. They had the wrong motives. God is right and just and perfect in all his ways, even in his judgment. And so here we have it in this story, a great lesson for us. And here's what we're going to learn. How to have the right motives. How do we have the right motives in our life? I want to give you a few things from this passage that God wants to teach us this morning. And number one is this: if you want to have the right motives, let God be your motive, not the recognition. Let God be your motive, not the recognition. Many years ago, we had a family in the church, military family. The husband was deployed, and he was gone a lot, and the wife was at home, and our church had several children, and they were going to move to a new house, a new apartment, and they couldn't afford the deposit. They were really struggling. She wasn't working, and it was just kind of a mess. And so word reached me, and I talked to a couple people who had extra resources in the church, and I said, hey, this is what's going on. Do you think you want to be part of that? And one of the men in the church, thankfully, said, yeah, I'd love to be part of that. Him and his wife agreed. They said, yeah, we'd love to take care of their deposit for this new apartment, get them in there and everything. So great. So he goes, we'll just do it in secret, and we'll just cut the check this way, and we handle it so it was anonymous. So about a week goes by, and then we get this all taken care of, and they start moving their stuff in. They get the deposit paid, and the family's super excited and very grateful. And the husband who gave came up to me, and I'm standing there talking to him, and his wife's standing there, and he says, I'm going to go tell her that I gave the money. And I said, you are? He says, yeah, I'm going to go tell her. And his wife is just staring at him. And he goes, I'm going to go tell her I gave the money. And I said, why? He goes, well, I just want her to know that there's no reason for her to think about paying me back, and she can know where the money came from, and it's not, you know, there's no pressure. And his wife was just staring at him like, what are you talking about? And I could just see this dumbfounded look on her face, and I just looked at him and I said, that's a terrible idea. And his wife says, yeah, that's a terrible idea. And I said, the Bible has a lot to say about how we give, and I don't think you're going to win any points here by going to tell them that you were the giver here. That's the wrong motive. And so after we pinned him to the ground and, as you know, made sure. Here's the problem with Ananias and Sapphira. Ananias and Sapphira saw what Barnabas did, the son of encouragement did. They saw that he gave, he was generous, and he got some recognition from it. Not that he was seeking that, but he said they were thankful for his gift, and they wanted the notoriety of, look how much I gave. Look what a generous person I am. Look how much. And so they conceived in their heart, and they connived in their heart, that they actually were not going to let God be their motive. They were going to let the recognition be their motive. That's not the right motive. We have to let God be our motive, not the recognition. This issue of doing good to be seen is not new to the book of Acts. In fact, Jesus had to talk about it a lot. Jesus talked about it this way in Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. He said, be careful. Everyone say, be careful. He's warning us, be careful not to do your good works in public in order to attract attention. He says, if you do, your Father in heaven will not reward you. When it says not reward you, do you know what that means? Zero reward. There's no reward for that. Ananias and Sapphira wanted the reward of man's praise while pretending to do it for God. That's the problem. They wanted man's praise by pretending to do it for God at the same time. That's called hypocrisy. You guys understand what hypocrisy is? Right? Hypocrisy is a deliberate deception, and they were trying to make others think that they were more spiritual than they really were. That they were more generous than they really were. And it's called, you know, hypocrisy, its root meaning is likened to wearing a mask, right? And they were faking, like, I'm this way, but really inside I'm not. I actually have ulterior motives, and that's what is called being a hypocrite, having the wrong motives. Not doing it for God's glory, but trying to do it for man's praise. Jesus went on to say, he said in verse 2, he said, so when you give to the poor, don't announce it with trumpet fanfare. This is what hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets in order to be praised by the people. So a lot of the religious leaders back then, they would give things and do things, and they would do it, shout it from, look how much I'm helping the poor, look how good I'm doing and serving. And they wanted the recognition, they would shout it from the corners, and they wanted the recognition of other people, so it made them look super spiritual. And he goes on and says, I can guarantee you this truth. You know, when God puts a guarantee on something, it's a pretty sure thing. He says, I guarantee you this truth, that will be their only reward. You see, wrong motives, when you make man's praise our motive instead of God's glory, then man's praise is your only reward. That's what it's saying. I don't know about you, but I'd like a better reward than that. I want the reward that only God can give. That only God can give. And so we understand that there's no reward in hypocrisy. And you know, what's unseen by man is still seen by God. Did you know that? Even though other people can't see it, you might think to yourself, well, nobody knows. Good. Jesus says that's good. God knows. And let him be the one who's going to reward you. Let him be the one who's going to say, you know what? Well done. Good job. Good and faithful servant. That's the one we want the praise from, is God. Ananias and Sapphira wanted the praise of other people. And that's what got them into trouble. God doesn't just see what we do. He sees why we do it. Why do you do the things that you do? What is your motive? What is the root reason that you do the things that you do? What is the root reason you dress the way you dress? What is the root reason you worship the way you worship? What is the root reason that you give the way you give? You talk the way you talk. You act the way you act. Those are challenging questions. Is it for God's glory or for man's praise? The question then we should ask is, how should we give? How should we give in our life? Well, Jesus goes on to say this in verse 3 and 4. He says, but when you give, now notice that Jesus immediately assumes that you should be a giver. Right? You get it? He already assumes that you're going to be a giver. He says, but when you give, because it's going to happen to someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give your gifts in, everybody say it out loud, in where? Give your gifts in private, and your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. So we give it in private. Let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give it in private. And let that be between you and the Lord. If you want to have the right motives, let God be your motive, not the recognition. That's what Ananias and Sapphira had the problem. They wanted the recognition of other people and not from God. That's called hypocrisy. What else can we do to have the right motives? Well, you need to let truth be your motive, not lies. Let truth be your motive, not lies. Everyone say, not lies. Liar, liar, pants on fire, hanging on a telephone wire. How many know that? Some of you, that's the only Bible verse you know. It's actually not in the Bible, by the way. But it's assumed. It's implied. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Okay? Look here in the account here of Ananias and Sapphira, verses 3 and 4 again. It says, then Peter said to Ananias, watch how just eat, man. Sometimes I wonder if I preached the way the apostles talked and they wrote in the Bible, how many of you would still be in church? Because look how Jesus cuss wrote. Ananias, how is it? This is from front of everybody. How is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? That is cutthroat. Because the apostles knew when it comes to giving God glory And him being holy, there's no time to pull punches. There's no time to dance around the truth. He says, didn't it belong to you before it was sold? The answer is yes. And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? Yes. Then what made you think of doing such a thing? You've not lied just to a human beings, but to God. You lied to God. And that's not the greatest place to be. Ananias and Sapphira's problem wasn't that they didn't give all the money. It's that they said they were giving all the money while keeping some back for themselves. It would have been with their full right and right and honorable for them to sell a piece of property and say, hey, we're going to use this portion for our home and for our family, and we're going to give this portion to the kingdom. That would have been totally cool. But what they came and they said, you know what? This is everything we've got, and we look how good we are. We sold the whole property and gave the whole thing to the church, and we're pretty amazing, aren't we? But that was the lie, and that was the problem. They were motivated by lies. If you want the right motives, you have to let truth be your motive, not lies. Everyone say, not lies. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't lie. That's the key. Now, maybe you're here today, and for you, lying is a struggle. I've known people who struggle with lying. It's an addiction. It's a hook in their life, just as much as alcohol or pornography or greed can become a hook in their life. Lying becomes a problem. Something, right, in their spirit, in their heart, just hasn't quite broken and surrendered to God, and so it just immediately comes out of their mouth a lie. Maybe that's you today. With no condemnation other than what Scripture gives us to challenge us and to correct us, I believe that God can help you. And so we ask this question here to understand lying. Where do lies come from? What is the root of lies? Where do they come from in our life? Why do they come out of our heart and then out of our mouth? Where do they come from? Well, Jesus gives us a hint in John chapter 8. He says this about lies. He says, and Satan, he says, he was a murderer, talking about Satan, he was a murderer from the beginning. So Satan's been a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there's no truth in him. And when he lies, it is consistent with his character. See how lying goes with your character? It's consistent with his character. For he is a liar and the father of what?
Lies.
The father of what? That's where lies come from. And we struggle with them sometimes in our life and in our heart because we still struggle with the sinful nature. The sinful nature wants to be enslaved, right, to the things of this world. The spirit within us wants to be enslaved to the things of truth, which are the things of Christ. And so when we lie, we're obeying the father of lies. Now, the truth is that Satan can't make you do anything. He can't force you to lie. You can choose to do it. And when we choose to do it, we're falling under the nature of our sinful nature. But thanks be to God who gives us power through the Holy Spirit. He can break that chain in our life and break that bondage of lies in our life. And we can be set free to walk in the spirit of truth. Isn't that good news? It doesn't have to be a bondage for you anymore. In fact, lying is such an important issue to God, he made it number 9 in the Big Ten. Here's what he said. He said, you shall not bear false witness, that means don't lie, against your neighbor. Don't be a liar, because that's not in God's character, and he doesn't want it to be in your character either. He wants you to be a truth teller. Because that's the spirit in you. That's the spirit in you. Satan's the father in lies, father of lies, but Jesus is the truth. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You see the difference? And so we understand that in our life, and we must keep in mind that their sin, Ananias and Sapphira's sin, is not in robbing God of money, but lying to him and robbing him of glory. And that became a problem. The church right now is booming. It's thriving. And when Satan can't get it on the outside, he goes to work on the inside, and he starts to cause conflict. And he had somehow snared Ananias and Sapphira up into greed and to lies and to deception, trying to get man's praise, and it became a massive problem for them. And they wouldn't come clean, and because of that, God had to punish them in his judgment, and his judgment, even in this moment, is always righteous and true. Because God's always right. The book of Proverbs says this. It says, "The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in those who tell the truth." Ananias and Sapphira had lying lips, but that's not what God honors. God honors us when we tell the truth, when we actually speak truth out of our life. Have you been telling lies? Has been something in your life that's been kind of a snare for you, affecting your relationships, affecting your life, affecting your character and your trustworthiness? The enemy can have a hold on our life because of those things. Those things come from the heart. Jesus said this in Luke chapter 6. He said, "What you say flows from what is in your," everybody say it, "heart." Comes out of your heart. What comes out of your mouth comes out of your heart. And so if that's a problem for you, you got to say, "God, come in and change my heart. I want to have truth come out of my heart." You guys are pretty quiet today. You get it? Do you know that lying is a humongous problem across the United States? Just watch the news. Lies are a problem. You ever notice that you don't have to teach a toddler how to lie? They just know. They're pros. They're pros. Teenagers are experts. Adults are great at faking that they're lying, but we're just little kids in big people bodies. What do your words say about your heart? That's the question. Ananias and Sapphira, their words said that their heart wasn't surrendered to God. So what do your words say? What are your words about others? Do you lie about others? Do you gossip and slander them? Those are all rooted in lying, deception, not unity. So this was causing a problem in the church. Some of you have been struggling with lies, and I believe that God can break you free from that. God can set you free from that. That's one aspect of lying. The other aspect of lying is some of you have not just been struggling with lying, some of you have been believing the lies. And somehow Satan has wormed his way into your heart, into your mind, and made you to believe some of the things that aren't true. Today's Father's Day, maybe some things that your biological father said about you or to you, and you've just been believing it. Maybe you were abandoned and the enemy's using that to say things to you that, you know, hey, you're not worth it and you're never going to be anybody and no one really cares about you and you've got no future, no hope, and you've been believing the lies. Those aren't from God. Maybe you've been abandoned by others and you've been used and abused and you feel like, man, I'm just going to be alone for the rest of my life. Stop believing the lies. Jesus said, "I'm the truth, not a lie." When we build our life on the truth, right, that's where we have a firm foundation. Jesus said this in John chapter 8. He said, "So Jesus said to the Jews and who had believed in him, 'If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free.'" The truth will set you free. Sometimes we believe lies even about faith and about religion, and we just make up our own truth. You know what that's what a lot of people do. They just make up their own truth. Like, what do you think? Well, I feel that it's this way. Our feelings are the worst liars in the world. We just lie. I feel like, well, let's base it on the truth. Let's base our life on the truth. Let's stop believing the lies the enemy whispers in our ears. Let's stop believing the lies that other people tell us. Let's not be motivated by lies. Let's be motivated by truth. What does God say? What does He want me to do? Build my life on the truth. There's enough lies going around. We don't need them among God's people.